I want to go to living as children of light. There was a war in my spirit Sunday about whether I was going to share this particular word or the other. And the Lord reminded me today it was for tonight. So here we go. Verse 17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. So Gentiles live in the futility of their thinking. Why is it important to get off of that? Why is it important that when you're in your thinking process, you are being told by St. Paul here that you're a Gentile instead of a believer? So there must be something about how we think and why we think the way we do when we're in the flesh, and then of finding a solution. So again, I repeat, I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord. So he's really saying this is not coming from me alone. It's coming from the Lord. That you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. Verse 18 gives you the answer. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. So, that brings us to me, myself, and I. Do I have areas where I have hardened my heart because it takes me for a ride in my thought patterns and brings me to a bad area in my thought patterns? So if I'm confessing things that are not of God, if I'm speaking like the carnal people or the Gentile people, or, well, I don't care which tag you put on them, the people of the world, then the word says that I can't do this anymore. And if you look at verse 19, it says, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. So they're never satisfied. Why? Because there's a continual lust for more. Now, how do I change it? Well, number one, if I humble myself and ask God to forgive me, he is faithful to forgive me, 1 John 1:9. Amen? If I don't see myself or don't see the hardened heart, because I'll be honest with you, there are some Christians, even myself, where I remember hardening of my heart and saying, I can't or I won't. Now, those words have never come out of your mouth, but they have come out of mine. And when they did, I was frustrated, I was angry, I sometimes might have been bitter. Oh, of course, I'm always perfect, so I don't know how come I'm confessing all these things. But reality check. When my emotions are ruling my heart, my confession matches my emotions, no different than the guy that's doing his thing walking down Gentile Avenue. Or Unbeliever Avenue. I don't care what you tag it. It's going to be the same process. Because the whole world is stuck with hardened hearts. And I'll be honest with you, a great percentage of the church is stuck with hardened hearts. And they qualify for believers because they have confessed Jesus is Lord. Oh yeah, he's my Lord. He's my King. But their actions and their reactions don't smell like God, don't taste like God, don't act like God, don't give the fruits of the Lord. Must be they ain't godly. Must be. So, what's the solution? Verse 20. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regards to your former way of life to put off your old self. Oops. That can be quite uncomfortable. Putting off my old self. Well, I don't think that's a good idea. I've lived with myself for all these years. I don't know if I can take off this old self. I might not recognize me. Amen. Right? And let's face it, I'm comfortable with this old me. I kind of like me, just the way I am, you know? So don't frustrate me by telling me I got to put it off. Sunday night, I had to go down the street from where my son lives, and there's a gentleman that lives not far from where my son's house is, which is in Three Rivers. And this man I've known since he was 8 years old. And I swear to God, he still owns the very first pair of jeans that he ever had, and I don't think they've ever been washed. If you took them off, they would stand on their own. And he enjoys my company, and I have a real hard time with my nose. So I don't think he likes to get rid of his old garments. And some Christians are the same way. They don't want to go under the sprinkled blood of the Lamb. They don't want to wash away the old patterns. They're comfortable. Don't push me. I don't like it. Putting off the old self. And it says, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Verse 23 says, to be made new in the attitude of your mind. To be made new in my attitude? Whoa! I like the old responses. They're fun. You know, everyone in here is saying, why is he teaching on this tonight? Well, because they couldn't handle his Sunday. I'm being nice. It's the Word. Amen? Amen? So to be made new in the attitude of my mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, wait a minute. I have this desire. I want to be holy. I want to be righteous. But I like the old me. It's more comfy. Give me my old jeans back. In fact, I don't even have to stand them up. They stand by themselves. So don't push my buttons about your new righteous way of life. And you know, people don't have to tell you those words. They literally let you know it by their mannerism. By their body language. You can tell you're frustrated them because you're walking in the room and you're bringing a little bit of light in. I don't want to live with children of light. My darkness is going to show. Amen? So a minute, you're pretty comfortable. The light comes in. It's uncomfortable. My God, they're going to see my pants ain't that clean. Oops. Verse 25. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body. Huh. In your anger, do not sin. In your anger, do not sin. In your anger, do not sin. That means you are going to get angry. But don't stay angry. You're going to get upset with yourself and others. But don't live there. Ask God to forgive you quickly. And you'll be putting on the new self right away. Don't wait. Just don't wait. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Okay? In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Ah. So now he wants you to be a giver. Even after what you've earned and learned, and he wants you to be a giver. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Being a giver is an automatic thing. As a believer, you're required. Not my word, it's his word. You do the best you can. If you've missed it, get back on track. How many have ever missed it? I have. Get back on track. Amen. Now, I shared with you, I'm not going to give you any more of the word because you've already got it. You've got enough there to catch your mindsets for quite a while. But I shared with some of you that I'm going to be seeing some of my friends. And I shared with you about when my friend got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he got his new tongues while we were at what is now Rick Joyner's place. At that time it was PTL. But I had a privilege in 1987 to go, and that's the first time I've heard this exact message. It was given to us by a lady named Rev Ev Carter. I never forgot her as long as I lived. There's no way that I could ever forget Rev Ev. The first time I met Rev Ev was in 1977. We went 500 miles one direction to go to that particular meeting, and instead of getting Jim Baker, we got Rev Ev Carter teaching and a blank television program. But it was God ordained. Rev Ev wrote beautiful book called No Ground. Spoke with her. She irritated many people because she would speak the truth. And when we were there in 1987, in January, the Lord had given me a word while I was at my office in Springfield Street. And I called my wife and I said, Irene, we're going to be going to PTL. I said, I know. I got a word from the Lord. So, we're going to take your dad with us. She says, you're crazy. He won't even go down the street with us. Irene, I'm telling you, he's going to come. Well, he watches it on TV. He doesn't want to leave. Blah, blah, blah. To make a long story short, within a few days, I talked to him about it, and he says, yeah, sure, when are we leaving? So I got some time off, and off we drove. And we went all the way down, 900 miles one way. And we got to PTL, and he had never been there. He was a very good Roman Catholic. But the experience of being there on the first night, guess who was teaching? Rev F. Carter. So we got there Sunday night, and we walked into the studio, and you could walk from the side, and you went in, and you sat down, and we sat down. My wife, actually her dad, my wife, and myself. We sat there, because she was doing a seminar, Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night. Wednesday night, we were invited to our friends that lived just down the street, And we went down there for dinner. Because Teresa decided that she knew my father-in-law, and she said, I want you to come for dinner. I'm cooking a turkey. My father-in-law would walk 20 miles to get a turkey dinner. So she had made a turkey dinner for all the fixings. And so it was a wonderful, wonderful dinner. But in my brain, I'm saying, oh, my God, we're going to miss, you know, Wednesday night camp meeting. And, I, you know, how you had the seminar for 4 days and did like number five. And so I kind of said a little prayer in my heart. I said, Lord, you know, it would be really nice if we could go to the seminar. So it's around 6:15. All of a sudden, Walter says, Kim, would you like to go back to get, you know, Rev. Carter's seminar tonight? Oh, boy, yes, let's go. So obviously we came in late. My father-in-law had trouble with his legs. So obviously, we instead of entering from that side, we entered from that side. Because that side was full. They had closed the door. So we walked around and we sat down and we had to go up like 3 steps on the platform. And we sat down. Of course, while Teresa and Walter, Irene and I, and my father-in-law and me. Now the program is just about to begin, and out comes Rev Ev. Now she is a very tall, dark, black lady, and she steps out in the front, and the TV cameras are rolling, and she says, well, I had a word for somebody tonight, but I don't see that person tonight, so I guess I must have missed God. Lord, I'm just going to have to just forgive, because, you know, you're going to have to forgive me, Lord. I missed it. And she turns around, and by this time, my heart is about ready to jump out of my skin. And she yells, oh, there you are. I have a word for you. Now, a word, I mean, you know, this is not a normal situation. She decides to broadcast about what I'm going to be to the whole nation. On live television, I mean, my buddy, after this service was done, said, huh, God sure treats you different, doesn't he? And of course, what is important to say is, I was learning how to get rid of the old. I was putting on the new that night. Because the word was, minister, minister, minister. That's what you are to do. Of course, if you think that I wanted to become a minister at that time, you've got to be kidding me. There is no way that I wanted that job. So then, the service is done, and she says to me, I want you to come down here, and I want you to minister to some of these people, because a lot of people here need healing. So come on down. My father-in-law has never seen a healing service in the flesh. Woo! My knees are shaking. I don't know if they're rattling, but it sure felt that way. I walked down that aisle, got to the bottom, took out my bottle of oil. Any person that worked with Gino has to have a bottle of oil at all times. So I had my bottle of oil, and obviously the very first person that I, boom, down they went. And my heart went like, and my father-in-law's passing out. He didn't talk for 3 days. What am I saying? I love you guys. I want you to put on the new self. That new self is so full of love and so full of compassion and so full of mercy and grace. You'll change your world. You changed me. And I'm very grateful. Just stand, please.